Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Tampadelphia. Hello, Eagles fans worldwide. It is Tuesday night, October 22nd, 2019, after our first game with them. I never say their name lest God strike me dead and that be the last word out of my mouth. Boy, what a week. I thought last week was tough, right? After we lost last week's game, I came in here crabby, cranky, and I didn't really spend a whole lot of time preparing for last week. I'm amazed I got that much show out that I did. But this week, folks, what are we going to do with this team? Come on. Is there anybody whose pudding isn't stirring? Is there anybody whose jello isn't gelling? Seriously, come on. It's Philadelphia Eagles. I'm saying some things to my pals. I'm wondering about putting it out here on air because it may be a little too hard for some of our audience to take. Because, you see, I am not an insider. I am not a media guy in the Eagles locker room. I do not have friends on the team. I do not have interviews with the players. I do not get any extra information anywhere from anybody other than the way you do. Because I'm a fan. I read what you read. I see what you see. I hear what you hear. Maybe not all of it, but enough. And I look and I wonder and I interpret. And am I qualified to even make a comment? Well, I've been watching Eagles since 1960. It's a long time and a lot of football. So while I haven't really been looking at it back in 1963, let's say, the way I'm looking at it now, there's a lot of information in between those years. I think I'm as qualified as anybody to say what's going on with the Eagles and express a little concern. I may not have solutions. I have ideas, but they may not be solutions. So the purpose of this show is to hear what you think. It's not about me. I know what I think. I want to hear what you think about the Eagles. If you're mad, you got the mic. If you're happy about the Eagles, if you're patient with the Eagles, whatever your demeanor, you have the mic. So this show is for you. It's Tampadelphia Talks Eagles. And as you know, while Tampadelphia is mine since 1994, we're the oldest active club here in Tampa Bay. Tampadelphia is really you. It is us. It is all of us. So call in 657-383-1614. I'll give it to you again. 657-383-1614. And we have somebody that I am going to talk to you about. It is a pest control company, and amazingly it's got a great name. It's called Antipesto, like the Italian appetizer. Antipasto. This is called Antipesto, and Cortland it's his company, and Cortland is giving a discount for Tampadelphia members if you want to get your home or business serviced for pest control. Cortland, had the pleasure to meet him. He's a recent, I'm talking recent transplant to Tampa from Philadelphia. Great guy, beautiful family, and he is willing to do everything he can to please and satisfy us where his services may be needed. I invite you to call him. He has a number. It's still a Philadelphia area code. It's 267-978-2124. His name is Cortland Pozzi, P-O-Z-Z-I. And his email address is eposey@antipesto.com. Antipesto is one word, no hyphens. And he's got some specials. But I think if it's that time of year and you want to get your service taken care of before the holidays roll in, and the big meals and the guests start to fill your house, maybe you want to give Corlin a call, have him check out your place. So that said, back to the Eagles. Tampa Delphi, as you know, is a group of transplants, diehards from all areas of the Delaware Valley, and Eagles fans from basically everywhere. We got people from multiple states, from the Carolinas, from Ohio, from Georgia. I mean, they're there in Tampa Delphi, and we've got a good bunch. Our focus is game day. It's not about drunks burling F-bombs. It's not about throwing beer bottles. It's not about how tough we are. It's about showing up with our family, sitting down, watching the Eagles, having something good to eat and drink, forgetting about the world for a while. That's who we are and how we like to spend our time. Now, we got some smart people in that room, and I've got some smart pals that I check in with and hang out with, smart in football sense, but also in intelligence. A couple of tech guys. One guy was with IBM Disaster Recovery, very technical space. Another guy was with IBM Networking when it first came out and ultimately migrated over to wireless and basically made the data move in the early days when there was not a big thing of bandwidth or cabling. And I was with IBM Data Security. So, I mean, you're seeing how water seeks its level, right? And these are good guys, diehard Eagles fans. They often inhale every word, and they have their favorite writer or announcer in the media. And that's cool. As far as the game goes, all I can say is, wow, do we have some work to do? I was fooled. They got me. I keep calling it spring training, and it's wrong. In summer camp, In training camp, I thought we had the makings of a powerhouse team. I thought the offense is loaded. We got DeSean Jackson. We've got the offense. We've got Zerk and Ertz and Goddard, and we've got Wentz. And the names started rolling. Then you take a look at the line, you take a look at the running backs and say, you know what, who's going to stop us? There's too many weapons. Who's going to stop us? And then you roll over to the defense and you take a look at those studs we got on the line with Cox. And now we got Malik Jackson and we've got some incredible guys in there on defense. And, you know, they work. It's almost a no-name defense in some parts of the squads because the guys play together so smoothly. We had some great statistics, and then we started the season. Well, here's the bottom line. Failure, failure, failure. All I want to say is that the team's unprepared, and it's largely been that way for 2 years now. And we are not prepared with our first plays in our first quarter of plays, rather, when the plays are scripted. It's taken us a hell of a long time to get started. If you really stop and take a look, we trailed the Redskins in the first game by 17 points in the first quarter. In game number two, we trailed the Falcons by 11 in the second quarter. The third game was the Lions. We trailed them by 10 in the second quarter. The Packers was the same thing. Trailed them by 10 in the second quarter. The Vikings was worse. We trailed them by 21 points in the second quarter. And the evil team with a pentacle on their helmet, we trailed them by 14 in the first quarter. What's going on, coach? What's going on? Can you craft an offense? Who's doing this? Are you letting Mr. Groh do it? He's in his second year. He was a wide receivers coach that you promoted up. Could he use a little help? I know you miss Frank Reich. I mean, that is an absolute fact at this point. But in reality, it's on you. It's not about your management, and it's not about your leadership and your motivational speeches. It's about your game planning. Coach, you got to get your butt out of the chair and into the film room, and you got to put together a plan that's going to score some points based on what the other team is showing in those film clips. If the guys at NFL Films can analyze, surely you can too. And I don't mean to be a wise guy and sit here and imply that you can't, or you're not willing to, or you don't do it. None of those things. I'm saying it looks like you haven't done any of it. So let's show a little something here. All right? Time for talk is over. We're just unprepared, and we're not ready to play football. The offense has been disappointing. I thought they'd carry the team this year. I thought the defense would be not quite as good, but they've been pretty bad the past couple of weeks. I don't think they have any sort of plan other than to run the ball constantly when you're down by as many points as I've said, and then after that, chuck it every single snap. That's bothersome. Is there a plan? Is there a plan? I'm not sure that Coach Peterson has any answers. Before the game started, I said, if them lose to us, will Judson Garnett still be the coach? If we lose, will Coach Doug Peterson have anything to say? Will he have any answers left to give us? But that's the way it worked out for us, right? And what did we hear? We're starting to hear a lot of repetitive, it's my fault rhetoric. Damn it. If it's your fault, buddy, you got to get up out of the chair and do it and start making some moves, some changes. We don't expect you to tip your hand and stand up there and give a press conference and tell us what you're going to do different this coming game. That's a little bit silly. But you've obviously got to start making some moves. You've got players out there that aren't carrying their weight. You got players, supposedly, that are late for meetings that are important for the success of the team in the game. And there's no accountability for that. They're getting away with it. Are you losing the team, coach? This is what my friends don't want to hear from me, because, oh, Paul, you're gloom and doom. No, I'm not. Cold, stark reality. It's like washing your face with ice water. I'm telling you, this stuff, it's all on the table because I think it needs to be said. But the offense is a mess. Jason Peters, goodbye, Jason. Thank you for everything. But if you're back next year, I don't know what I'm going to do. And Jordan Malaita, the rugby project, man, I think it's time for us to get a real NFLer in there because we can't afford the hole in the line. Thank God for Mr. Dillard. Andre Dillard was a high draft pick that came in, and he's performing, but he's still a rookie, and he's in the curve. So what can you expect realistically from a guy who's playing his first season in such an important position of left tackle? Okay. You would think that the coach would have had the team pumped up to play them. Because you know what, folks? This loss this past Sunday was the fourth time in a row that they kicked our Eagle butt. Huh? Yeah. Four in a row. How's it feel? Not good, right? So that alone should have been inspiring motivation for coach to get the troops ready to play. But they're not competitive. They weren't competitive. It's the biggest rivalry we got in the NFC East. It's the only real competition we have in the NFC East this season. We haven't swept them for the better part of 7 or 8 years since 2011. You know, it was a nationally televised game on the road against our biggest rival for first place. What don't you have in that sentence that's not motivational? It's all motivational. And other coaches have done more with less, except us. So, Doug, Are you soft pedaling it and acting like it's just another day in work? Or are you not getting the fact that you've got to be on their ass and get them up? You can't rely on your assistant coaches to do that. You're the guy that's got to show that you're General Patton and firing up the troops. Simple plan, right? Every great leader in sports and military history has had to do the same thing. Lead from the front. You don't lead in the press conference. You don't lead in the media. You lead on during the week, during practice, training, and filmography, and then you lead on the field in the game. Lead from the front. Stuff that my friends don't want to hear. Here's where we're at. We played 7 games out of a 16-game season, according to my Cardinal Doherty math. That leaves us with 9 games left to play. Presupposing that 10 wins is going to take the division, and we have 3, that means we have to win 7 of the remaining 9 games to win the division and get into the playoffs. Wow. That's a bite. That's a chunk. Can we do it? Can we do it? I don't know. With so many holes and so many gaps in our team right now, it's very, very hard to sustain drives, let alone win games back-to-back, or come from behind like we're often expected to do. Do you see how all this is stacking up? It's all sort of nudging toward one side that either the players aren't producing or they're not interested or the coaches aren't coaching or maybe both. But I sure am not comfortable with what I'm seeing. Rex Ryan, do you remember him? Do you remember Buddy Ryan? I loved Buddy. I didn't care if he won. Buddy was funny. But he won, and he was a hard ass. He was mean, but he knew people, and he got them to do their best. And Buddy Ryan got results. And Buddy Ryan had 2 sons. One of them's named Rex. And Rex Ryan was a coach in the NFL, and Rex Ryan didn't make it because Rex Ryan does not have a gentle touch with people. He's pretty abrasive, and a lot of people don't like him because he's somewhat crude and somewhat rough around the edges, and I'm not so sure that his people skills are anywhere near acceptable. But he comes out and he blasts Doug Peterson for his comments about going down to Dallas and playing that team. And then he blasts him again for what he did after the game, which is when Coach said, I'm not taking back those comments. I think they were motivational. I think this and that. And he kind of justified what he said. So Rex is blasting him on both sides of the game, right? I wonder if Rex Ryan, as unmanageable as he is, would be a good coaching addition to our team. The guy cracks a whip. The guy cracks a whip. How many of our sissy players can put up with that? You get that kind of coach in there and then see what happens in the locker room. Hey, we got to work. We got to practice. We got to play. Or the other assistant coaches are saying, hey, you're a little too rough on the guys. Hey, how about you let the man do what he's got to do and show these guys how to play and how to construct an attitude? Again, my friends don't like this. You know, pull your way over the top. I'm not even close to the top, man. Are you kidding? Is this a rant? Maybe it's called a rant. It is as bad as the days of Ray Rhodes. Remember Ray Rhodes, 1998? That was when I bought my Bobby Taylor jersey, which I still have. BT21, heck of a player. One of the few goodies on Ray's team. Ray couldn't coach worth anything. He was a defensive backfield coach out of 49ers, and they gave him the head coaching job, and Ray was not a head coach at all. Ray didn't have anything it took to do the job as well as it needed to be done. Ray had skills. Ray had smarts. Ray had experience. Ray had a lot of things that you and I don't have. I'm not bashing on Ray Rhodes. But Ray Rhodes was not the right man at the right time in that job. But they made it so. And it hurt us. It cost us. So, but knowing that they didn't work out, this time now is as bad as Ray Rhodes. Because what you have to do is you have to trend line the Eagles. You can't look at one game, which is what we often do. We often look at the most recent game. You got to go back. Go back through this season and take a look in the last year, 2018. And take a look and see what's happening with our scoring by quarter, with our statistics overall. They keep a bunch of defensive and offensive statistics, which we get to every show. And we will again if there's time. But who wants to hear them? But the bottom line is that that's the way you've really got to start to sift the data on this team and be conversant in terms of what you're talking about. Again, part of the show is to see the game a little bit differently, learn something, and open your eyes a little bit more to not only the top layer, which is the most easiest to see, but the second and third layers below the surface. And really think about the game and think about what we're going to say. If you just want to parrot the radio, go ahead. I don't listen to any radio shows. I don't hear IP or any of the other shows. I don't listen to any of the sports shows here in Tampa. Basically, I catch a few things here and there that are archived, but that is about it. But right now, I can tell you there's not a whole lot of things the Eagles are doing right. And this was like a top four NFL-ranked team. Not NFC, NFL. Out of 32, we were in the top four. That's where expectations took us. And then after we beat the Redskins in game one, well, that was just confirmation. I mean, it was sealed, man. Yep, Eagles are going to advance into the playoffs and go to the Super Bowl. Whoa. I'll tell you what. After game six last week, not this past week, but the weekend before, that's when I started to understand who this team was and what we really had. And I saw an awful lot of Swiss cheese. Okay. I'm going to take a look at the board and see who's calling in, because maybe somebody else wants to rant with me. The number is 657-383-1614, and I better get to this because we're almost two-thirds of the way through. If you are in Tampa, you must come to Tampadelphia and hang with your fellow Eagle diehards. We meet in two places. We meet at the Jazz House Supper Club in Tampa, which is on the southeast side of Tampa by the Brandon Mall. Brandon is a bedroom community contiguous to Tampa. That means right next door, too. You know, it touches each other. Great place. Crystal's amazing. Beautiful facility. Comfortable. Everybody likes it. I mean, it shows up well. Go to Facebook, Tampadelphia Eagles, and you'll see pictures. The second place we meet is in Clearwater, which is over in the other county. And it's where the Phillies play, not far, actually, from their park. And it's called Mugs, M-E-G-S. Both are exclusively Eagles. Both rooms, both crowds. We don't have to worry about any other team coming in and, you know, things getting out of hand. We don't have to hear the sass in the comments. That's not what our game days are about. Our game days are about us to have fun and relax. Talk trivia for the family, to share some conversation, for dad to teach his children, for guys who work together that follow opposing teams to sit down and have a beer and enjoy the contest together. It's all about part of life, where sports is in the picture, but not necessarily the whole reason for drawing your breath and being there. You work hard enough. You got it. This is about relaxation. It's not about stress and pressure. If it is, you got it wrong. But anyway, come to Tampadelphia in Tampa, Florida. Clearwater is Mugs. Tampa is Jazz House Supper Club. We have 200. Pardon me. We have over 300 diehard Eagles fans in both places. Now, our best times are Sundays at 1. Our worst are the night games at 8:30 People don't want to come out. People get tired. They got an early wake up. I know I'm up before 5 every morning. Good Lord, how do I do it? And it's crazy. I'm just adding a 4th radio show on soon, too. Bottom line here, good food, good drink, good games, good crowd, family atmosphere. Come, have fun, enjoy. And please say hi to Paul when you arrive, and we'll show you how we cheer. Okay. Let's go back to our game. But if you want to call us in now, please do, 657-383-1614. What's Howie Roseman going to do? Is Howie Roseman the real deal? I wonder. Here's another thing. Paul, Howie Roseman's amazing. Howie Roseman learned everything off Joe Douglas. Don't worry about the Eagles' future. Well, I do. We haven't had an Eagles Pro Bowl player picked since the 2013 draft. Huh? What? Yeah. We got Carson Wentz in 2013. He's the most recent player we got from the draft that went to the Pro Bowl. Let me put it to you this way. Let me flip the coin over. Our drafting has sucked the past few years. Oh, we've gotten one or two guys, like Elaine Johnson, and maybe Andre Dillard's going to be a good one. But mostly we have not been building through the draft. We have been bringing in expensive free agents, right? We've been re-signing injured veterans so that when they get hurt, they don't come back fast, and maybe they don't come back at all. Because we've got an awful lot of guys on the injured reserve, and they're out for the season. We dropped a fortune on DeSean Jackson and Malik Jackson, and neither have contributed much to us at all. As a matter of fact, you probably don't know it, but DeSean Jackson, when he was with the Buccaneers last year, he did the same thing. He had a mysterious injury. He didn't want to go out and play, and his teammates held it against him, and that might be one reason why the Bucs were anxious to let him go. We grabbed him because it was, hey, it's homecoming. It's DeSean. He's back with us, right? Oh, the guy's a burner. He still has it. Man, we're gonna get 15 touchdowns this year out of him. Yeah, are we? Okay. So we haven't had anybody go to the Pro Bowl since Carson Wentz was drafted. So was Joe Douglas here then? Yeah. Howie Roseman? Yeah. Guys, what have you been doing? You've been getting free agents. Thanks. So we're up against the cap all the time. We don't have a lot of guys out there on rookie contracts. And we don't have guys coming up together. Guys that are in their 20s coming up together. Got to say that like I'm out in L.A. Together. That was one of the differences between us and them on Sunday night. They have a bunch of guys that they've acquired through the draft. They've brought them along. They brought them up together. They're young. They're not that expensive. They're playing their hearts out, and you saw what they did to us. Maybe you've been watching for the past 2 seasons to see what they've done to us. They've acquired some very, very nice talent. We have been going the opposite direction to get free agents and sign old vets. See, one of our problems is that the old guys get hurt and they don't come back. So the guys we put in their place, like next man up, oh, it sounds so catchy, next man up, they don't have the talent to fill the gap. So our 2s and our 3s have a real talent gap against the starters that are out hurt. Okay. So this to me means that some of the most important people on the Philadelphia Eagles team are the assistant coaches who take these kids out of college and teach them how to play in the NFL, teach them the tips, techniques, the moves to be able to be effective on a Sunday, teach them how to understand the game, how to view film from an NFL perspective, how to execute their assignment, right? How to work as part of the squad or part of the group on the field at that time. Are we doing that? Or are we getting a lot of free agents that are kind of still playing the game their way? And again, it comes back to, did Doug Peterson have control of the team? Maybe he's got too many free agents that are too busy doing things their way. But I will be shocked, Mr. Roseman. I think you've been kind of asleep at the wheel. Some of your deals sound great. Headline, marquee names. Wow, how he got us this guy. Except this guy ain't playing. So anyway, I will be surprised if he doesn't make a move before the season ends. We just cut two more guys this week, you know. Two guys on the defense. They weren't big names. They're no longer Eagles. Forget about it. Gone, forgotten. See ya. But I think Howie Roseman's going to get another guy. But what should he get? Should he get somebody on defense? Somebody on offense? Let's talk about that. I think we need somebody on offense. Paul, are you crazy? We're better off on offense than we are on defense. Yeah, I know. But we got one wide receiver. One. Jeffrey. And there's no telling if Jeffrey's 100% back from his injury. The other guy out there is, yep, Nelly, as he's called, Nelson Aguilar. You remember a couple weeks ago, Nelson Aguilar fumbled? Remember a couple weeks ago, Nelson Aguilar dropped a pass? Now this past week, a ball, a perfectly thrown ball from Carson Wentz, right at Nelson Aguilar. All he had to do was grab it, pull it in, and it would have been for six. He just waved it goodbye. He just watched it go past. He didn't even make a play on the ball. What the hell are you doing? Aguilar! Smack, smack, wake up! Drop and give me 10, get some blood moving! I'm sorry. Am I upset? No. Perfectly calm. Perfectly calm. I will be surprised if Aguilar is still an Eagle next year. If I was the owner, I don't want to be a meddling Jerry Jones, Daniel Snyder guy, but I'm picking up the phone and saying, okay, how much more time are you going to give these guys? How much more time are you going to give a Sidney Jones? Some of these guys have to be playing for jobs, and it's only game number 8. So, this is tough love here. Nobody gave me any excuses or mulligans or free get-out-of-jail-free cards. Uh-uh. My ass was kicked. My ass was dropped. My ass was worked until I got it right. And guess what? That's the way I play it with these guys, too. But I believe that Howie Roseman needs to get back to work and start figuring out the draft. But he doesn't have Joe Douglas now, does he? Which means you have to work harder, don't you, Mr. Roseman? I don't care how far removed you are from the fans and from everyday life because you share the executive suite with Mr. Lurie. But a lot of your, let's face it, the peasants are lighting torches. Get the drift? So get to work. We've got some bad wide receivers on the team. They're not bad. But Aguilar is questionable, although his figures, his stats aren't as bad as you might think. But Coach Peterson isn't going to say anything about these guys. He'll never throw a player under the bus, and that's the correct thing to do. Stick with your players. Build their confidence. Don't build their negative fears and thoughts. Don't build problems. Tell them that they're fine. Tell them that they're going to do better. Tell them to coach them up. But you know what? You got to start it, coach. You can't just talk about it. You got to do it. Okay? We haven't had a catch of longer than 30 yards by a receiver for 5 straight games, which is almost the whole season. And we've got some decent teams to play ahead of us. How are we going to do it? The coach's play calling is way too conservative very early in the games. It's good to see him running more, but when you need 6 yards and you put in a guy who only gets you 4.5 yards per carry, and to my mind, that's a deficit of 1.5 yards that you're probably going to fall short. So how about a little bit better game? I'm a fan, and I'm talking like this. What about you, coach? What about you? Where's the assistants that should be rolling this information back up to the guys who maybe overlooked it or forgot about it? Where are they at? Where's the second level of coaches? You know, the assistant to the assistant? Come on now. Get those guys working too. They get a paycheck? Huh? Are the Eagles paying their bills? Well, you know what? They better start helping the Eagles. So we've got CC Ortega Whiteside or whatever. I'm sorry if I muffed your name, pal. But CC is, I mean, he's like, and then you got Mac Hollins. And I mean, these guys are after Jeffrey and Aguilar. Thank God for Zach Ertz, but Zach's getting a little long in the tooth. He's in 10 years. Dallas Goedert's just starting to get into the groove. Our third tight end is hurt. Isn't that interesting? But Coach Peterson is calling a very, very conservative game plan. He's calling a lot of runs early on. We're behind early on. I don't know if you're concerned about the line holding the defense back so Wentz can complete the pass. Coach, maybe you need to bring in a shorter drop, more RPOs, maybe shorter routes, whatever. I'm a fan. I don't know, and I'm not going to tell you what to do. That's your space. That's what you do. I just observe, right? But the bottom line is that, well, come on, Coach. Shine them up and get us some points early. You know, all of this stuff rolls together here. All this stuff rolls together. Carson Wentz, I feel sorry for Carson. He's not getting any help from anybody. And once again, we got a great guy, a good player, whose best years are going to be wasted because we're fooling around. We're not doing the job right. We're not getting in the right line. We're not getting in the right town. I mean, let's sit down with a clean piece of paper and put in the definite good guys in green, put in the iffy guys in a second color, and put in the guys that you're going to drop out in the third color. Then you go over to the draft and you go over to the free agents, you see who's coming out, and then you go ahead and you start building bit by bit. Maybe you get three draft picks for one free agent. I mean, I don't know what the path is for you guys to do that. I've never been in an NFL war room, nor have I been inside an NFL meeting where they talk about player stratagem for the future. I've never partaken in that. But there has to be a process. Has to be a process. I think the time to start that process is now. Don't wait till after the season because you're wasting. You got 9 games of opportunity. 9. And every week is precious. Right? Right. So, but Carson Wentz is not getting very much help against, you know, from anybody. Nelson Aguilar. Geez, Nelson, I think the first 2 seasons you didn't produce much. The expectations were high. You were number 1 draft pick. I mean, you were kind of like the jet fighter pilots. I mean, wide receivers are kind of like the swaggering sunglasses, cocky, hat on an angle sort of a player. But man, first 2 seasons, you were like Eeyore. You just didn't really, you didn't have that sense of sizzle, right? You got it back a year or two ago, but it's been slowly slipping away. And now, man, what's like? What's going on? There's stuff I could say, but it would be totally humiliating and outrageous. And I'm not going to say that. I'm smarter, older, and wiser. So, but I will say that I'm watching you. Eyes are on you, man. Other people are starting to figure that out too. So it's not just me. And again, my observations are largely my own. At this point, look, we are only 1 game out of first. A lot can happen. So don't do anything drastic. Don't give up the ship. Don't turn into a complaining, whining, gloomer doomer, which is even worse, right? Don't do that. Hold the course. What you must do is these are times when, you know, you want the guy in the foxhole next to you to be tough. You don't want a candy ass next to you that's going to shiver, quake, not fight back. Everybody's got to screw up their courage, their backbone, and get in the game, get in the fight. So what you need to do is to just keep your mouth shut and just stay positive about team. And stay positive about what we're doing and where we're going. We released Orlando Scandrick and Akeem Spence, two guys that were recent additions. Orlando Scandrick had a good game 2 weeks ago, and now he's like a matador, and then he's gone. So, but I think that statistically, we don't have enough time to get into all that. As we are on our way out, before we sign off with some final statements, I want to remind you to call Cortland Posey at Anti-Pesto Bug Killers, 267-978-2124. Cortland is a great guy, and Cortland will probably do right for you. So if you are looking to get something done, give him a try. He's a Philly guy. He's one of us, and I'm sure he'll do right for you. So he's also got some specials for Tampa Delphia folks. Tampa Delphia, Jazz House, Supper Club, Adamo Drive, Tampa, right by Brandon Mall. And the Mug House in Clearwater. Two good places, two good crews, some very dedicated people. And they're very committed to us having a good game day. So there's a lot of people that work hard so we could have fun. And I want to acknowledge that. And I hope you do too. I hope you take care of your servers. And I hope you're pleasant and sociable to the people around us that are kind of all making this one good day, one big good day for so many of us. And also, I want to thank you for being part of Tampa Delphia, for being part of the T-shirts that we just have printed up in green and white. They're gorgeous. We just got ladies in green, and they look amazing. We've got, our giveaways. You've donated prizes. Thank you for that. That means an awful lot. You've no idea. And we also do it for fun. Thanks for being loyal, coming by, showing up, hanging out. You can hate my guts and still come. That's okay. There won't be any fees, dues, or charges for you to do anything like that. It's not about money. Nobody else invites you to come for free and then gives you a free ticket to win a big prize. And you can keep your money in your pocket, right? The only thing you spend is what you order. And, of course, the gratuity for the young ladies who worked, once again, very hard to try and keep us all having fun, keep us all laughing. So we're just about winding down, but we've got another game coming up this weekend. And it's going to be against the Buffalo Bills, who, frankly, are not too shabby by themselves. They're pulling it together, and that's where Joe Douglas went. So we'll see how the Bills do. We'll keep our eye on him over the next two or three seasons. But I think the Eagles really need to make some changes, and I think it has to start with Doug Peterson. I do not want to hear this Andy Reid recipe for press conferences. Well, we got to do a better job of keeping our guys in position or putting them in position. And, well, that's play calling. That's purely on me. And, well, that's not – you know what, Coach? You don't have to mention names. Either the players are executing because they're playing for you or they're not. And if they're not, you either got problems in the locker room because they're not buying into you or because you're not enforcing – what needs to be enforced to show that you're a strong leader instead of the player's friend. I have never believed in being friends to my children while I was parenting them and teaching them as they grew up. I did not want to be their friend. I wanted to be their father. So I wore the black hat on many occasions, and you got to too, Coach DP. Final thoughts, final words. It starts with Doug, but I'm holding Jim Schwartz and Mike Groh accountable for the flaws and deficits in their squads. I'm holding every single assistant coach accountable because there are things that maybe the DC and the OC need to hear and be reminded of. And I think that every player has to renew his sense of commitment and figure out whether or not he wants to be a Philadelphia Eagle, because the fans are tougher than the players. That's Philadelphia. You want to know what it all comes down to? We're tougher than you. Fact. That's why we are the way we are. We're not brie cheese eaters in the stands. No. We eat our food cold and off the floor. So, that's it. I hope everybody has a good week. God bless all here. And as always, go Eagles. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a phenomenal week. It was a heck of a show. See you guys.